What's going on, everyone? Swim Kareem here with the Nonprofit Insider Podcast for another one of our nonprofit uncut episodes. You know, we have to do this pretty much every other week. I just kind of dive into just one topic, 15 minutes, try to get you in and out. If you haven't had a chance, go back, listen to that previous episode. That was a really good one. Episode 40, I interviewed Victor Lopez. He's the executive director of Learners Chest. They're an organization based out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. They do an amazing job teaching kids in the community how to play chess. And one of Victor's desires is to get every single kid in New Mexico to play chess. So a phenomenal person, great leader in the community. Go back, listen to that previous episode on Apple, Spotify. However, you listen to this episode right now. It's funny, I took a little bit of a break. One of the things we're going to do, we're going to go back to releasing an episode every other week. First 3 months, as we kind of celebrated our first year of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, just wanted to go gangbusters. So I released an episode every single week. Listen, the numbers show. You all like it. You all consume it. But it's exhausting. It's tiring. And now we're getting the summer's coming up. That's the time where kids are out of school. Shoot, my son's in spring break this week alone. So just a little bit tired. It's like, you know, I need to take a little bit of a break. I'll probably go back once fall goes. I'll probably do every week, but you know, just got to ebb and flow. One of the things when you're in society, capitalism, hustle culture, you're told to just go. And listen, I've been a part of it at times, and sometimes you can really just go. And sometimes you got to step back and take a break. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to do every other episode like we've been doing. For the first 9 months, we were doing episodes every other week. And I'm excited about today's episode. One of the things, I'm reading an article. Well, not even an article. I'm reading a dissertation right now called Financial Predictors of Fraud in Nonprofit Organizations. This came out back in 2019, so 5 years ago, from a doctorate dissertation out of Liberty University. And so I've been reading that. It's long, as you would imagine, a lot of dissertations, and I don't quite have the time to read it all in one sitting when it's 200 pages and sources, but I've been reading it just slow over time. I'm a little bit of a slow reader. And one of the things is the author, Don Marie Schwartz, is talking about is there a predictor where you can see if there is a financial fraud in a nonprofit organization? Is there a formula? Is there certain indicators like the amount of money you bring in, the number of people you have? Is there a percentage? Like once it hits, I don't know, you get 10 or 15% extra every single year. Can you predict it? And it had me thinking, look, I'm not at a position where I can really talk about nonprofit fraud. That's one thing. I don't know a lot about it. That's why I'm kind of reading this article or reading this dissertation. But I can talk about nonprofit waste. And good googly moogly, there's a lot of nonprofit waste. So we're going to get into that here. We're going to take a quick little break. Big shout out to our sponsors. Be sure to follow us on TikTok. Be sure to follow us on Instagram if you haven't already. I'm still working on that YouTube. I want to do more videos. But again, there's so many things to do, not enough time. But be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok. You can always message us. I need more nonprofit horror stories. I need more nonprofit horror stories. So send me an email, the Nonprofit Insider Podcast at Gmail, or you can just find me and you can connect with me that way. Even with warmer weather, I still like a good cup of tea. And that's where my friends at artoftea.com come into place. They have an amazing collection of teas for all types of occasions. Birthdays, graduations. Look, Mother's Day is going to be here before we know it. You need to check them out. Go in the show notes, artoftea.com. If you follow me on Instagram or TikTok, you always see me with my Nonprofit Insider cup. And inside of it, it's tea from artoftea.com. So go be sure to check them out. Go to the show notes. We have a special 10% off link in the show notes. Thanks for sponsoring all the amazing things we do here at the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. All right, let's get back to the show. All right, we're back. And one of the things I try to let a lot of people know when it comes to the nonprofit industry is that by and large, when it comes to nonprofits, it is a people-first industry. It is a people-first industry. And that's not to say when it comes to the for-profit space or working in government or anything like that, that people aren't first. But generally, when you're working for a for-profit organization, it's money first. And I just got finished listening to, a podcast. I cannot remember the name of it. And it was about Costco. And it's, the episodes are like 3 hours long. And they talk about different businesses, American Express, Visa, Costco, different pharmaceutical companies. And one of the things that is really, really big with Costco is that they're known by many people in the industry of having a really successful business model where a lot of employees and stock owners and things like that really, really like the business. And even with an organization like Costco, and I've been a Costco member for 5 years at one point. I'm not a Costco member now. I just don't go there quite as much as I used to when my kid was younger. But going to Costco and spending a lot of my time there, I know a lot of people that, you know, they have the little name tags and say they've worked there 5, 10, 15, 25 years. I'm like, damn, that's pretty freaking impressive, right? To be working at a retail place for so long, because they do a really good job of trying to keep and retain their employees. But even with Costco, it's about business. It's about business. And many different organizations that are out there in the for-profit space are not necessarily people first. It's the reason why so many people across society don't like the privatization of so many different aspects of natural resources and industries, because for the most part, government is designed to be people first, by the people, for the people. Many of us have heard that before. And in the for-profit space, that's not really the thing. But in many aspects of the nonprofit world, that is a thing. That is a thing. Putting people first, what's the mission? We've heard all that before. But even in the internal workings of a nonprofit space, this is a people business, right? You're dealing with real people that have real issues, and it's not about the bottom line, even if you're trying to fundraise $1 million, $2 million, $5 million every single year. And one of the things that comes with being in an organization that is people first is you're going to have waste. You're going to have waste. And going back to that fraud dissertation I'm reading, it's talking about all the different ways you can potentially predict fraud. And one of the ways that you can predict fraud is through waste. If you start to see trends of money being lost, resources being lost, there might be something to indicate that there's fraud happening. And for the most part, listen, if you ever get a chance, if you ever visit or go overseas to a lot of different parts of the world, you know that bribery is a big part of the way business is done. And I know a lot of people are like, it's just the way it is. It's not even a bad thing for some people. The United States, compared to a lot of different countries, if you look at the numbers, it is one of the lower states when it comes to the amount of bribery and fraud that generally happens. It's part of the reason why the United States is so big, among other historical reasons, as we know. But when you think of an organization, you may think that waste is happening and it's almost intentional. Nothing could be further from the truth. And for me, I've generally have seen nonprofit waste in one of four ways. The first is you see it in money. That's no surprise. If money is being spent in a fashion that is not conducive to bettering the organization, that's going to be a common one. The second area that you're going to see waste in the nonprofit space is time. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. We'll talk about some more common areas of waste in these different four dynamics, but you're going to see this in time. Nonprofits are notorious for wasting time. Notorious. And even at some of the biggest organizations that you can imagine, some of the big nonprofits that come to your mind, they have a lot of wasting of time. There's a lot of wasting of resources. That's the third thing that I often see in a nonprofit space, where a lot of resources are wasted. You have an amazing collection of physical resources, an amazing collection of non-physical resources, like, you know, talent. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And then the fourth area that I often see nonprofit waste is knowledge. Is knowledge. So look, let's break it down real quick here, another 5 minutes. And then we'll kind of get, I'll get into a little story here. The most common areas that you see of waste within money, time, resources, and knowledge. For my perception and my research in banking and background is talent. You see a lot of wasting of talent. And that can be one of those things where you hire the wrong people, which happens. It's not uncommon. You hire people at a rate that's too high, or more likely you hire people at a rate that is too low. So talent is one of the big things. That's why we always are talking about on the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, so many aspects of you got to hire good people and you got to pay these people well. We know there's a lot of competition and we can get into all the aspects of that, but talent is a big way that you can waste money, time, resources, and knowledge. One of the areas that I've seen in a lot of my research when it comes to nonprofit waste is this thing called waiting. And it's exactly what you imagine, just waiting. You're in the nonprofit space, you're waiting for signatures from a certain person, you're waiting on a response for a certain person before you can take action, before you can make a leap. Waiting around is not good. I am known as a terrible editor. I do not proofread. Ask my girlfriend, ask people I've worked with. They will tell you, SWIM is not the best. I've sent out emails and I've had dates wrong. But I've always been one of those people that I'm like, you know what? I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for action. And it's bit me in the ass a couple times. There's just no doubt about it. There are times where I've had to send out correction emails. I mean, I've sent out emails with the executive director and their name is spelled wrong. It's bad. It's a hole in my game. But I hate waiting. And even with this podcast, I said, you know, I want to get a podcast out. I have so many things I want to talk about. I don't know if it's going to be perfect. Fuck that. I'm not waiting around and I'm not wasting my time because I am able to glean more pieces of information by releasing episodes. And you all let me know if you listen to it or you don't. It's really just that simple. Another common area of waste when it comes to that time type of area is being unclear of goals or being unclear of authority. Those are the two I've seen the most. Being unclear of goals, you all can figure it out. We've all been there. We've all been a part of that. But a lot of nonprofits can be oftentimes unclear of authority. Who am I reporting to? Who's that person reporting to? What are the structures of power the structure of power and authority in the nonprofit space? If you don't have that down, and a lot of nonprofits that are 5 years or younger can actually experience this a lot more than you think. Organizations that have been around forever that have tens of thousands of employees also experience it, but it can happen in all types of organizations. Another area of common waste is record keeping. If you do not have the ability to have a solid record of what's happened in the past, you can get yourself in trouble. What did I say? Repeating insanity is repeating the same actions and seeking different results. We've heard that before. Record keeping is something that, in my opinion, is very, very big. And it's a big waster that nonprofits aren't able to do a lot of times. And communication. No surprise, if you're just not communicating well, you're wasting a lot of time, a lot of money. You can waste resources by not communicating. I thought I was printing 100 copies for the fundraising event. No, this person thought they were doing it, and now we have 200 copies when we only need 100. What the fuck? That happens a lot, and communication is a big piece of any organization, any relationship, whether you're dating, working, paying taxes, getting your car fixed. Communication is a big, big piece. But again, this is a people-first sector, a people-first industry. And so you can have many, many instances of your organization having issues because you're dealing with human beings. And waste can happen in ways that you can never fucking predict. I mean, you can never predict. I remember, here's a good story and we'll get you out of here. I remember one time I was working with a nonprofit organization. And this is an organization based out of Texas I was working with from afar. And the organization had an executive director who was having an affair. And they were having this affair. And listen, one of the things is you get older, a lot of people will know this, right? The average age of our demographics for this podcast is actually 43 years old. And as you get older, compared to when you're in your 20s, you're like, oh, I would, if I get married, I'm never going to cheat and I'm going to be faithful and all these things. And then life happens and you're like, listen, I'm not condoning it. Let me just let that be clear. I'm not condoning it. But there are a lot of people, as you get older, life is a lot more complicated than you realize. When you're young, you're like, oh, things are so simplistic. It's either black or white. There's a lot of freaking gray. So I'm not knocking this person, but he was having an affair. The person he is sleeping with, she is also married. So she's also having an affair. Well, I guess the person that the executive director was sleeping with, she was married to someone else and he was not thrilled. And I guess he came to the office in Texas and was like, hey, you're sleeping with my wife. What the fuck? And there's a lot more to it, like a lot. This is many, many, many years ago, so I'm like, I forget some of the details. But yeah, the mistress, I mean, she's married. He's not thrilled. So he goes to the office to be like, hey, what's going on? I guess the people that were working in that office may have been like 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 people at the time, something like that. They're like, what's the deal? Like, you're having an affair. Listen, you're a business, right? You're not a politician or anything like that. You're just an everyday citizen. So who are they to judge? It's not like the company is going to interfere, but you're having an affair. And that person's husband is now coming to the office. People were not comfortable with that. And of course, there were a lot of discussions around that. So the organization, because of this, and they're not sure, he's like a biker, not the stereotype bikers, but he's a biker. He's like, you know, he's like the perception of like a badass, right? All black and all this stuff. They're not the employees are not too thrilled about this. So the company ends up hiring a security guard. A security guard, where before it's like, I mean, if there's just 7 people, they don't need a security guard. It's not like people are coming and going. It's not like they're downtown and, you know, they don't need anything like that. But the company ends up hiring a security guard because the employees aren't comfortable and this person is making threats, coming to the office. A fucking waste. And you can't predict that because you can't predict people. And if you're in the nonprofit space, I hear a lot of people say, oh, I don't think I could be in the nonprofit space. You know, too lackadaisical, no structure. What's the goals like and stuff like that? I always say a lot of people in the for-profit space can't deal with the nonprofit space. There are a lot more, many more aspects of relationships. And yes, some of the boundaries can be a little bit more lackadaisical than a for-profit space. But this organization hired a security guard, I think for like 4 or 5 weeks. I know it was at least 3 weeks, but I think it was even longer, like almost a month and some change. That's money that the nonprofit organization could have been using for the mission, could have been using for bonuses for employees. They could have used that money in so many other areas. But you got to have a line item for stuff like that because people are unpredictable and waste can happen simply because you're dealing and working with people.